A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
My God, why have you abandoned me?
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
All who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips. They wag their heads. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
Indeed, many dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
They divide my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. And found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Christ became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Our gospel reading today, the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, may be found in the supplement beginning on page 13. The congregation will please read out loud the text in bold, labeled chorus. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The Passion and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for fear there may be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages and the money given to the poor."
They were infuriated with her. Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he vehemently replied,
Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you.
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
Sit here while I pray.
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch.
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass him by. He said,
Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will.
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely.
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands.
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?
Then Jesus answered,
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
Prophesy.
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
You too were the Nazarene Jesus.
But he denied it, saying,
I neither know nor understand what you are talking about.
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
This man is one of them.
Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean.
He began to curse and to swear,
I do not know this man about whom you are talking.
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
And he said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?"
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests, the scribes, mocked him among themselves and said,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ and the King of Israel come down from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion, asked him if Jesus had already died, and when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Beloved, today we find ourselves at sort of a crossroads. Today's celebration of Palm Sunday marks the end of the ordinary season of Lent, but also announces the beginning of the Holy Week, a week that has its own particular character. And as we come to this time, I invite us to do something that I believe is worthwhile. To look back from whence we've come, and then to begin to look forward to where we are yet to go. Maybe you're thinking about Ash Wednesday. You're thinking about how we were here together, preparing ourselves yet again to unite with the Lord Jesus for these 40 days, these 40 nights in the desert, in the wilderness. We tried to establish perhaps resolutions that would enable us through the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which we were instructed to do in a hidden way. Perhaps those disciplines that we embraced, we might have found ourselves not always hitting the mark. We may find ourselves in a situation where now that Palm Sunday is here, my goodness, Easter is 1 week away. Maybe it's been that type of a Lent for you. It's worth our taking time to reflect, to look back and to see what was the Lord desiring to do with us and in us. Was he able to accomplish what he set out to do with us and for us? Whatever, let us not dwell too long on that. Whatever we did, whatever we failed to do, however we may have been disappointed, frustrated, whatever, it's done. It's in the past. But it's good to glance back, because today is about reorientation. It's about turning our hearts and our minds, our faces, if you will, to the reality of the events that will now unfold. We have been singing for these weeks of Lent that beautiful hymn, Jerusalem, My Destiny. We are now at the destination. And so many personages, so many people have been presented to us from the gospel that we heard proclaimed at the blessing of the palms outside in solemnity, to the narration of the Passion according to Mark. So many different vantage points we can choose. So many people, the woman with the alabaster jar of aromatic nard, so expensive that when she poured it on Jesus, it caused an objection. Peter, vehemently saying, I will not. He just couldn't, so stubborn, he was so stubborn, he couldn't even fathom that he would actually deny knowing Jesus, and yet a couple of verses later we heard him do exactly as Jesus said. In fact, we are probably aware of how much of everything Jesus said, not only as it's presented to us in the gospel as we saw it for the procession, the triumphal entry of the Lord into Jerusalem, in the wake of and in the hearing of the words, Hosanna, Hosanna, the disciples that have have decided to be all in with the Lord, the palms representing his victorious entry, their garments being spread before him, their cloaks being spread before him, really communicating, we are with you. We believe in you. Yes, he enters as the king. But by the time all of this is said and done, he will mount his throne in a manner of kingship that no one expected or wanted to see, and yet it was the one he said it would be. My kingdom is not of this world. And how many times we remember leading up to these days when the people tried time and time again to hail him as king, to take him off, to carry him and present him to the populace as the king promised them. And time again, Jesus refused. How many times people, the demons, tried to disclose his identity, and time again, he would not permit it. But now he allows everything to go as it is to go. Question directly, are you the Messiah that I am? How many times we hear in this narrative the reference, the King of the Jews, the King of the Jews? Not once does Jesus stop them from declaring it as such. What is the Lord now inviting us to? How is he inviting you and I to enter into this passion? Perhaps it's one of the characters. Maybe you found yourself identifying with one of the characters. Again, so many different viewpoints, so many vantage points to choose from. Which one might it be that the Lord is inviting you and I to take on that person's place, be in their place, stay close to me, listen attentively to what I am saying, and most especially what I am doing? I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to be with me. We may find ourselves overwhelmed with sorrow. We may find ourselves overwhelmed with the fruit of the vine, as did the three, Peter, James, and John. They couldn't keep their eyes open. We've all had such an experience, haven't we? And Jesus says, it's enough. The time is now at hand. This is a time for all of us to renew ourselves in the light of the King, the Savior, the Redeemer that the Father has sent. Will we choose to be all in? Will we also allow ourselves to be stripped naked and to resist the temptation of fleeing like the young man that was near Jesus? It's not uncommon for the seminarians to ask the professor when we are reviewing these particular gospels in seminary formation, who was the young man that went off naked? The professor offers three possibilities as to who it was. Some thought it was James the Greater, the cousin of the Lord. But that was more or less dismissed. And then they said, well, maybe because he was a young man, we're told. Then they said, well, it must have been John. John was the youngest of the apostles. Also, that one was dismissed as well because of the way the gospel narratives are read. John remains. It could not have been him. So then the scholars speculate a third possibility. It may have been someone who was near to Jesus, close to him, in that upper room that he knew. And that is what is purported as the real possibility. In fact, what is the identity of this person? John Mark himself, the gospel writer. It's believed that his parents, it was their home that Jesus had established for the preparations to be made for this Last Supper scene to unfold as it does. And it was this young man, their son, who ran off naked. Jesus is inviting us to draw near to him in his passion. The palms. Why are they palms? Why do they call them palms? Because when you see the palm branches and they open up, it's like the palm of a hand We can consider how we've used our hands during these days. How often did we fold our hands in prayer during difficult times as well as good times? How many times did we extend our hand in alms to help a brother or sister in need, a stranger, somebody that we would never expect that we would be in a position to help, and yet we were there? It's a time to unite ourselves with the Lord yet again. It's a time of intimacy. In the truest sense of that word, the term intimacy means into me see. Jesus looking into your heart, looking into my heart. Is he aware of our sins? Of course he is. But did he ever at any time in this narration call Peter by anything other than his name? Or any of those with whom he was in dialogue, he called them by their names. Because he came to deal with the sins, not only of those he had chosen, but for the whole world. This is our time. And if we become overwhelmed to the point of exhaustion, we fall asleep. Be resolved to fall asleep with the Lord. Give him the joy, give him the privilege of awaking you and saying, wake up. I need you. I need you now more than ever. This is the time. God love you.